Welcome to What's Your Poison? This is John Savage. You can go to johnsavage.com to see all the episodes, the many, many episodes. Also, please rate, subscribe, and share because it'll be good for my ego. Okay, that was exciting. This episode was an experiment. We did this live on TikTok, on my TikTok account. It was the first ever Watch Your Poison I've actually done in front of people. It was just an experiment. We had 5,000 and almost 900. Actually, I'll tell you the exact. We had 5,943 viewers, which is pretty epic. I did forget about them often. So I forgot because I had the questions on another screen. I kept forgetting to ask questions or go there. But what an amazing guest. So Gigi LeMain, I met a long time ago when I first started a digital radio station that I invited her to be a guest, and she was stellar. She took it super seriously. She was already a star. And we were doing that with a lot of people, but I loved her work ethic. I loved her energy. And we've kind of stayed in touch very, very loosely and have watched this megastar skyrocket. Such a powerful, inspirational person, solid as a rock, you know, in an industry full of flakes and poses. You got Gigi, who I've always loved. She just saw her holid. Great person, you know, just a wonderful person and incredible musician. And then when I asked her to come on the show, she came on without any hesitation and brought all her bubbly warmth, her total honesty, you know, she brings it to the table. And that was a really fun and nice thing. It was totally new experience, and I love that I got to do that with Gigi and just connect on the career that she's had. This interview, you know, these things, you never know where these shows are going to go, and this one got quite deep. I don't know if it was because of me or her, but we went all over the map, and I think if you don't already completely love Gigi LeMain, you will after this. So welcome to this episode of What's Your Poison with the absolutely stunning, incredibly talented Gigi LeMain. What's Your Poison is proudly brought to you by Whiskey Brother. WhiskeyBrother.com. They make great whiskeys. They sell them. You buy them. You drink them. WhiskeyBrother.com. I think we're live, but I have to check because I've never done this before. Let me go over here and see if I am. Yeah. That's looking like we are live. We are live. Yeah, I can see myself. That's me. I'm live. If you don't believe me, there I am. John Savage here, and this is the first time we've done this, and very excited, very, very, very excited. And I don't know if I've mentioned yet that we're excited. Love this woman. Let's not even do one of those long, boring introductions. Let's just get this powerhouse in. First, I've got to do this. There she is, Gigi. Yes!
Yes! How you doing?
I can almost call you an old friend, I think.
Yes, I think. Absolutely.
How you doing?
I am amazing. How are you?
I'm very, very good. We are streaming live on TikTok. This is a new thing for me anyway. Yes. I think it is for you as well, did you say?
Yes, it is.
Well, super proud to have you. And you are beasting it up in the world. And it's an honor to watch you. I actually remember, I can only imagine how cool it must have been. You once posted about your new office when you first moved into your office. And it was so cool how you put it all together. And I was like, this one is building an empire.
Thank you. Thank you so much, John. Thank you. I've been well. I've been working really hard throughout COVID. Just adjusting to what is our new reality. And thank you for having me on the show.
Right. I always start with the most important heavy question. What we drinking tonight, baby?
We're drinking some red wine. Yes.
Are you? So how often, what is your poison? Explain to me. What is your bad advice?
So my poison is definitely Cab Sav and Malone. Absolutely love it. It just like complements a lot of the dishes that I love to eat. I am a red meat fan sometimes, so I always make it a special occasion when I decide to cook up something, and then I obviously pair it with a nice glass of dry red. So that's my go-to.
Very nice. I'll tell you what I'm drinking.
What are you drinking? Which
I always do, but I've got something special. I've always wanted one of these, right? Do you know what this is?
Yeah. Is that a crusher?
No, this is an ice block. Now check it out.
Wow, okay.
It's apparently how classy people are, not drink whiskey. And I've always wanted one of these giant ice blocks. And for you, I decided it was time to splash out and buy some ice. The most expensive ice I could find.
I feel so special. I feel so special.
Cheers to you, Gigi.
Cheers to you, John.
I was having memories about how many years ago, how we first met. Do you remember?
I absolutely do. We met through something that has become very big now. And it's absolutely crazy because you were like the first person I knew who had already started, the whole podcast vibe. And I got, like, through you, I got to even meet Most Deaf, I remember. I could not forget.
So, yeah, you came and hosted. I think you hosted a show. So if we started a digital radio station, it was way before digital radio stations were a thing. So it was rough and ready.
Yeah.
And you did a show with Patty Monroe?
No, I was initially it was, and then I got to interview Petite Noir as well.
Oh, are you friends with Petite? That guy is so cool.
Yeah, he is. I got to meet him thanks to you guys.
But he is a tough interviewee, isn't he?
He is very
I've always been scared to interview him because he's so quiet and like deliberate about stuff that I feel like on the other side you always have to like overly you have to give speeches to get anything out of him.
Absolutely. He was like, for a first time, he was a very difficult one.
Yes,
but I think because it was my first time, I didn't realize he was difficult.
Right.
So
you were a natural host. I love doing those shows. They're still sitting online somewhere. You were really cool at it, and I just loved. And also, even this experience now, we haven't spoken in years, really, but you're so positive. You were so into doing stuff that you wanted to do. You made them happen. You weren't just like saying, you weren't just all talk. You were there. You arrived on time. And even now, like, it's so cool. All these years later, seeing all the amazing stuff. It's your work ethic's so killer. It's an honor to have met you. I don't remember introducing you to Mos Def. Tell me what happened that night.
He just came in to the workspace, and I was just like, oh my goodness, is that Mos Def? And I remember he started telling me about this book that he was reading, and it was just like sharing a whole lot of knowledge on life in America, I guess, and how it's very different from what we see on TV. So I remember meeting up with him. I'm just a little mad because I don't remember taking pictures with him, but just to admit him was good enough because he left me with like.
I don't think he was really the take pictures with me type of guy. He was a bit tricky. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you. I don't think I've ever told anyone this. I had a bit of a fight with him, and it really sucked. It sucked, yeah. And I really got a feel for. I've never told anyone this, so I feel like bad even saying. But I got a feel for that sort of A-lister thing because I got put in my place. What I did say no to, he wanted to do something and I said no. And boy, did I realize that you can't say no to these people, to like people of that caliber. It was really hectic.
Wow, I can imagine it. They're not used to saying no as well. So they're used to getting things there.
But Yeah, but South Africa, man, we have a different drum down here. We do what needs to be done.
True.
We hustle, you know?
True.
Mm.
True.
There's a lot of people watching us right now, and there's a comment from Venom Bebe that says, Gigi, aren't you on a reality show that's showing right now? How are you in public?
I am on a reality show. We just stopped shooting. But yeah, like I'm not in public, guys. I'm at home. Like, you know, but we just got done shooting now with it. And it's doing really, really well. People haven't seen me like that before. But my reasons for going onto the show, I think, were just like to give people to understand that, like, outside of the music, I still am an individual. Yeah, and it's kind of weird because on the reality show, I'm looking for love. So I guess that's the most vulnerable stage you can be in. And I know a lot of people are enjoying it because there are lots of sides of me that, you know, people haven't seen. A very feisty side.
So you obviously know how you can't speak about anything, obviously, that's happening in the show. But I'm interested in particularly you because, look, I only watch you from a distance and see the moves that you make. Always smart, always very determined. This Temptation Island is a bit of a weird one for me. And that's why I'm interested in understanding how much of it is business, how much of it is fun, how much of it is it strategic.
It's all of the above. So. It's all of the above, John. I've never really had a personality in the industry. Like, everybody has their idea of how I am, how I interact with people. Because believe it or not, like, I'm a huge introvert. I absolutely hate my phone. Although I do know that to get business done, you kind of like have to have your phone on you. I'm very different. But also, like, there has been this misconception. I don't know that I'm just bland and boring. And so I think that's why I decided to like take the show on, also because it was going to be something different for me, you know. A lot of people just felt that they'd never felt, they don't feel Gigi. They can't relate to her like outside of the music because they genuinely don't know how I am. And that's how private I've kept my life. So getting onto the show, I think I got to make people understand that, like, there's definitely more to, like, yeah, vids and music than, yeah, there's more to me than meets the eye and, yeah, the airwaves, I guess.
What has being on the show taught you? And what have you learned? Because TV shows are hard, hardcore. People don't know how hard they are.
Very. I think the one thing, John, is that, like, just not seeking validation from anyone. I think when you decide to do reality television, because it's unscripted, it's almost as if there's this panopticon, like this thing that's always watching you all the time. But I was really able to understand what my social skills look like, and that when I'm definitely over, like, fights or flights, I'm definitely fights. I don't back down to anything. But I just discovered a lot about myself when it comes to competition, when it comes to how I interact with people and stuff like that. So it was a huge, like, psychological drain for me. I'm not going to lie to you guys. But as I said, it's strategic. It'll all make sense one day. And it would have been a nice, yeah, I'm looking for love, and a lot of other nice boys are looking for love. So let's see how the show ends.
Wow, that was the PR part of the answer.
I absolutely hated it.
All right, well, I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like I can't ask more questions there without actually spoiling everything. There's a question here from Bomlefo. She says, Gigi is a hell of a savage on that show. Tell me she ends up slapping that little girl, please.
Ah! Oh, no, honey. Revenge is a dish best served cold. You guys just need to watch the show. But like I said, I'm not the type of person to back down unless you do. So that's as much as I'm going to give away. But I'm definitely like, I'm on her.
you, uses badass.
Absolutely. Savage mode.
I like it. I live in that mode.
Yeah.
Can we talk a bit about mermaids and stuff? I mean, geez, what you're doing is beast. Is beast. I love the way you're moving. I love what you're doing. I love your energy on the stuff. But this album's very, it's a different space from the Gigi of pre, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This album was really tricky because it took about 2 years to put together. I was supposed to drop some of the content last year, then COVID hit, and we kind of were like just struggling to understand what was happening. And I think we just got to a point where we were like, you know what, guys, the music will speak for itself. We can't wait for this forever. And we decided to put out the album, and it's doing really, really well. Some of the lead tracks include Feeling You with Mikasa and Blackie, and of course Sosobala with Shoma Josie. And there's also an Abma piano version that's just randomly doing well as well. But I'm not complaining.
Yeah. Did you, are you working in the Abma piano space? Did you know Mpura and Killer Cow at all?
Yes, absolutely. I had the privilege of working with Killer Cow. He was one of the first performers at the Gigi Gang show, which is a show that I basically started in 2019. That was just about women empowerment, and he came on as one of the male supporting acts. So I did know them. I still do know them, and I still do support their music, and I think they've done amazing work, and I think their legacies are going to live on through that. So more than anything, I celebrate the fact that I got to meet two of, the if not the biggest, influences when it's come to Abma piano music. And I have been kind of like dabbling into it, still as a rapper, still doing hip hop, but just contributing to the sound and contributing to it as a new narrative when it comes to representing Africa. For me, that's the biggest thing. It's not so much, which genre is best or hip hop is dead. It's more like, what can hip hop contribute to what is, becoming a patriotic sound, something that we're showcasing to the world. At the end of the day, I feel like, I'm super patriotic, and if I can contribute to that, then so be it.
What were you doing during lockdown? How did that affect you? Or was it just make music? Because, I was going to say, the one thing I'm finding now is some people, it's just starting to emerge. I think people are like being psychologically hit, but they didn't realize for the longest time until now that they're struggling,
Not you. I think I did. I think I had my COVID already. Like, I had my pandemic season the way before it happened, during my own kind of difficult time where I sort of like went on, and rested and understood music, hence the huge, long album. But I feel like it wasn't anything new to me because I'm an introvert, but also because like I had that season like where I was just down and the rest of the world moved. But to be honest, I really enjoyed that time because I got to introspect a lot. I got to work on some new skills. I was just really worried about like content production, learning how to navigate in this new world where like everything is now digital. And I even took up a couple of online courses. So I'm just happy that I took that time, and I just said, if we're going to die, I'm not going to die upset. I'm not going to die feeling like I didn't learn anything and I just curled up in a ball and decided I wasn't going to wake up the next day. I made sure that every single day I was teaching myself something new. And I kid you not, I learned how to record myself during that time. Some visual production on a very basic scale, but just like putting stuff together, learning about new apps, even like just little makeup routines. So I'm really happy that I got that downtime because had the world just carried on and everything would have been normal, chances are I wouldn't have even learned these new skills.
What courses did you do?
I did a course in social media, specifically like focusing on, just the digital shift, all the way from, you know, understanding Generation Z to millennials, to what, you know, our parents are posting, you know, platforms, and how you can sort of understand who's, you know, who's engaging with your content, just stuff like that. You know, that's super key when you're somebody who's trying to sell music and still do your thing.
And what course did you do? Was it like one of those Domestika ones? Was it an like, what do you know the actual what course it was?
It was with Shaw Academy. It was Shaw, a Shaw Academy. Academy. Yeah, it cool. was a Shaw Academy, and it was like, oh, it was like really long. It was really long, but I managed to finish with that. And it was like a class every day, or at least every other day that I could take them online, super localized, you know, so lots of South African examples. Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
And I see Kanye West obviously heard your album and also had to deliver a very long album with like 20 tracks on it. You're following you, girl.
He's been quiet too. I think when you're an artist and you've been that quiet, the least you can do is just like give your fans something to eat up, you know? Yeah. And that's what happened. Like 19 songs was a lot, but I kid you not, everybody feels like they found a song that speaks directly to them.
That's cool.
So yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. I'm going to look at TikTok and just see, oh, there's so many comments coming on. We've missed hundreds. So I'm just going to say, Anna Pateka says, Gigi, my baby. That's not a question. You got just lots of love coming in.
I know, Anna.
Lovely, Gigi. Love you. Hi, you're my favorite. Don't drop your man in the pool, honey.
That's on that reality show stuff again.
Yeah. I think everyone's obsessed. I think your TV show. How do you have a TV show and an album out at the same time? Isn't that confusing, or does the TV show help the album?
Absolutely. So the album dropped before the TV show, but I think it's like just an obvious question. If you're seeing me on TV, then you're going to ask what I'm doing, you know, music-wise, and there's a lot happening music-wise and vice versa. So Temptation Island was very different for me, I won't lie. Like, it was very, very different for me. But
would you do it again?
Absolutely. I loved it. Like, I loved the challenge, I think, the mental and the emotional challenge of it all. For me, it was like, yeah, this is you under pressure, and this is not work where you can just simply say, you know, I'm going to send an email to fix it or whatever. This is like real life stuff. So
Do you forget that the camera, I mean, is there ever a time you forget the cameras are rolling? You really do. You just jump right in. And
I got into so much trouble, but you guys have to like keep watching the show because I forget the camera's on. Like,
that's an amazing quality. Amazing. You're obviously you're a TV dream.
What? What? Not being like forgetting about the camera.
Yeah.
Oh no, but that's horrible, John, because like you strip down. Like, you could be talking about the meal the other girl cooked, or, you know, about the guy's weird pants, or, you know. And then you get caught, and then now you have to answer to the whole country and the whole world. So for me, the biggest thing was just forgetting that the cameras were even there. Like, it's go time. Like, did you offend me? Yes. Am I going to address it? Yes. And you're right. I guess it made good TV.
Yeah, I'm not talking about you. It will definitely have repercussions on you, but the TV guys must be smiling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about your family? Are they watching?
My family is watching. The first thing my mom
How hard
said,
is that?
Yeah, my mom was like, I hope you didn't get with anyone on live TV, because I'm not going to be able to do, like, explain anything to your relatives, you know? So, yeah, but like I said, people need to just watch. But like, for me, the biggest thing was my mom was like, please don't do anything funny. Please don't.
You should just say to your mom, listen, it'd be so cool because my kid will always see where they were conceived.
She would die. She would absolutely die. Like, my mom, family rep is everything for my mom. Like, that would have been no. I wouldn't have been able to. Hey, it didn't even, no. Family would have been awkward now. Like, I wouldn't be able to reprimand anybody. They would just, is this you telling us who was there doing this? No, it's not.
Well, I mean, one day your kids are going to watch the show, so you gotta.
And the only thing they're gonna say is our mama was feisty. She didn't let nobody play with her. She was super fair and super like sweet when she needed to be, but she wasn't the one to mess with.
Well, then this leads me on to, so tell me, describe your mom.
Madia. My mama is Madia. Umawami is Madia. Like, my mom is Madia, guys. She is absolutely crazy, but the one adult I think every kid in the family can speak to, you know, like, oh, I've got a boyfriend, or you know, I'm struggling with this at school, or I need advice about my friends, my circle of friends. My mom is like that. I mean, she's the perfect balance between like discipline and respect and still like reaching out to be able to understand you. And I think I got like one of the best, eh? At the top of the barrel, definitely. Like, the universe was just like, here's a nice mommy. She's going to support you. She's going to, you know, do stuff with you. She's like, she's my best friend.
How are you like her, and how are you opposite to her?
I'm like her in the sense that I think I am, I've only started like becoming my true self. It's weird, but like now, you know, with the lack of validation and that kind of stuff, she doesn't seek validation from anyone. Like, she believes in what she believes in. She's, you know, yo, like she chases for her dreams. She's also extremely entrepreneurial. So I look up to her a lot when it comes to like business, and how strong she is. And how I'm not like her, my mom is very like, I'm very forgiving. My mom is like, you have to work for that forgiveness. You know, I'm the type of person to be like, it's okay, don't worry. And for real, it's okay, don't worry. But with her, it's like, it's okay, don't worry. So that's where we kind of like, I'm always telling her like, you need to learn to forgive people. She's like, I have, but I'm just not going to let them close again. And I guess my hugest vice is that I forgive and I forget. And that's not always the best thing.
Is the quality, I might completely misinterpret it. Is that quality that she's has, is it loyalty? Is it like, because I know that, like, I've got friends, or even my wife, for example, she, like, someone will hurt me or do say something, and I'll go like, he didn't mean it. And she'll like be, he's dead to me. That's it. That guy's got to earn his way back in. So,
that's my mother.
That's because she's protecting me.
Yeah. So it's like, my war is my mom's war. So if I don't like you, trust me, my mother doesn't like you. But the problem is, even if I like you again, my mother still won't like you. You know, she's like one of those. She's just like, nah, that is not your friend. I swear, let's bed right now. This is going to happen again. And don't bring that person around my house. And yeah, no, my mom is dead.
Oh, I love your mom.
You can't let yourself in. Like, my mom, when she decides it's a wrap, it's a wrap.
Cool. And when you first told her you were getting into music, did you get any resistance there, or is she just behind you there? Because I mean, that is a hard career path. And is,
yeah, it's weird because no, like, she was always very like, she was always very supportive, but she was very strict on the education thing. So she was just like, but you need to go to school. I don't care what you do. You could do hair, nails, you could do whatever you want to do. Nothing is, you know, too small to go into, but just make sure that you do something. If it's music, you can go into that. But I, for one, didn't want to study music because I just felt that it was a gift for me. But to acquire a different skill to be able to help me in my career, absolutely. So I did do a BA General in Anthro and Media at university. But for her, she's always been supportive. But it was always on the grounds that I went and I studied something. It didn't matter what it was, but I had to study something. And I gave her my little nice degree and she was happy.
You get a gold disc tomorrow. Who's the first person you call?
My mama. Absolutely, you, my mama.
You go through, I read recently, you got hijacked recently. Who's the first person you call there when you're in trouble?
Some nice guy. Like, some nice guy. I don't know.
What does that mean?
Some nice guy who would like, Yeah, he made some calls and like, yeah, because I couldn't make calls myself, and he kind of helped me to like report and find, you know, people to help us where we were. And then I called my mom though, but like some really nice guy who's currently campaigning.
I'm really horrified and sorry that that terrible thing that you had to go through that. How are you able, how are you dealing with that? Because surely that's not something you get over quickly. I mean, you have to pretend to, but that's something that's sticks for a long time.
It's kind of weird because I don't know why, but it hasn't like I kind of like dealt with it outside of counseling, but the person who was driving us on the day did go for counseling. But I think for me the trickiest thing was when the car came back, because we recovered the vehicle, then it obviously went for repairs and stuff, and it's been back. And it was just really difficult getting back into the car, you know?
You kind of don't want it back after that,
You kind of
eh?
don't, because you're like trying to start again, but hey, it's like it's a car and you need it to work, you know? But it was very traumatizing. I do find myself not moving around. Like now sitting at home like this, I'm not going anywhere. And yeah, I'm just super vigilant now. Traffic lights are no longer the same, you know. And then I recently went somewhere, left South Africa somewhere. It was like super safe there. And then there are all these questions of like, why does it have to be this way back home, you know? So it's been really, really hard for me to go back into, but I guess this is South Africa, right? So if you can survive it, you can survive anywhere. I mean, guys, I always say you're not completely South African if you haven't been hit by one crime or another. Like,
Yeah. Well, I mean,
yeah, not to say I'm proud of it, not to say I'm proud of it, but
no.
yeah, I had to keep it moving, you know?
It's sad. It's the tragedy. It's a part of our lives. It's
Yeah,
just it's I
absolutely.
mean, fucking steal the car when I'm not in it, please.
Yeah. You don't need to threaten me while you're at it. And then I had my little episode running into the bush, and then it's just like sleeping now. You find yourself dreaming about that moment, and you kind of are mad. Should I have done this? Shouldn't I have done that? Maybe I shouldn't have gone to work that day. But life, right? Nobody decides to go through that.
Well, I'm super glad you're okay.
Thank you.
And then is there, where's Dad?
My stepdad is with my mom. He's absolutely amazing. I feel like, yeah, no, God definitely decided to bless my mom there, and you know, bless me as well, you know, because he treats me really well. He's like very supportive, and he's just an extension of my mom. He's such a cool guy. He's
That's
really a cool
awesome.
guy. Yeah.
And Dad before that, we don't talk about.
Yeah, well, he likes me now that I'm Gigi, so no, we don't talk about
I know this.
it.
I've heard this story many times. It's okay. Well, all right. Well, let's not give any airtime there. Let's go back to your album. So, what's it like working? So, I saw you worked with Mikasa, which is cool. That's he's a lovely dude, that guy. What a just like a. And also, I don't think people know what a music that like music pours out of that guy. I think he is way better than people think he is as a musician. He's sort of like a, of the of a caliber of a yesteryear. He just has this music in his DNA that's so crazy.
Absolutely. Like he's mad talented. Jay Something is mad talented. Dr. Duda obviously was still on the production, but it was changed around. And shout out to Ingrooves Electro Mode for that. It was a dream come true. I mean, I used to listen to Mikasa going to school and university, and now I'm working with him. And then obviously Blackie as the new kid on the block. I absolutely love him. He gets on the song, and it's just every time people talk about the cover art, the artwork of the project, they're like, this looks like a festival. How do you guys even get on the song together? And then when you hear it, you're like, wow, this is
Wow,
actually
yeah.
like one of the best collaborations. So it was amazing working with the guys because they were really easy to work with. And actually, John, this is an exclusive right here on What's Your Poison. The video actually drops on TV tomorrow, okay? So
Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. It was shot by Motion Billy, and oh
Oh,
guys,
what a
the
dawn.
Yes, absolutely amazing.
And were you working remotely with these guys, or were you in studio with them?
Unfortunately, okay, with Blackie, I was in studio with him. But with Mikasa, I wasn't, because they needed to, you know, quarantine for a work-related reason. So we worked remotely with Mikasa, but Blackie and I worked together. And then, of course, we shot the music video together. So, yeah, eventually we kind of like all came together, but everyone gave 110% of themselves to the song, and it hit number one. That was my first number one ever, like in the country, ever since my career started. Not even Ice Cream or Fufa were that big.
First of many.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. So I'm just so grateful that I'm still here. And I've still got so much more to offer. And shout out to the boys for helping me.
I just want to say that there's a Fang Wango has said you're the best female rapper in SA, hands down, but that's wrong. That's wrong. You don't throw that word female out there. This bad bitch is the best rapper in town. Hey.
Yes, yes, yes. And you know the one thing people mustn't get wrong? Like now I've started like experimenting outside of my country and stuff, because I feel that as South Africans, we need to learn to start giving flowers while people are alive.
This is a very South African thing. This is such one of the worst things about our culture, this.
Or you have to go outside and receive recognition and then you come back this hero. And I do feel like the South African industry kind of like let me down a bit, because, you know, I've worked and I continue to work, but I just realized that I'm never going to get the flowers that I deserve here at home, you know? So, you know, for those who are still there, and shout out to Feng for that amazing comments and, you know, the pat on the back. But I'm just in a space now where I want to travel and I want to experience the rest of the world. Because I do feel, as an independent young female hip hop artist, I was let down in many ways, you know, whether it was just getting on or gatekeeping or just, you know, assistance from the industry. But hey, like, no one owes you anything, right? And I'll continue to work. And for those people who are part of my journey, like everyone watching, like just continue supporting me. It does mean a lot.
It's hard work. I don't know that it's a being female thing. There is no industry really. That's my opinion on it. And I totally identify. I have this memory when I don't know if you know this, many years ago, I was in a rock band called Cassette, and we toured the world for a long time. But I remember this very specifically. The turning point in our career was like 2000 and whatever. Let's not go there. We went to London for a week to play a shitty pub to nobody. And when we got back to South Africa, we were hailed. And again, to your point, because we had gone over, it changed our career. It was very sad. It's sad that is the case, what you're saying. That. And I was going to ask, I love that you're collaborating with people from all over the place. It's a rarity, and more artists should be doing that.
Yeah. I also just think that I've hit the roof, you know, when it's come to South Africa and giving anything more. Now it's like, South Africa as like to the world. For me, it's like GG to the world. Because I have collaborated with everyone I've wanted to collaborate with. And I have worked with everyone I've wanted to work with in one way or another. So now I'm just like, I've always been this young traveler. I've loved learning from people. I mean, I studied anthropology. So why wouldn't I want to go to Brazil and experience, you know, their music out there? And yeah, so people can expect a lot of, there's a feature right now with an amazing DJ. She's from Spain. I can't drop names now, but different people from different spaces, from Spain to Brazil to Western Europe to the States. So yeah, just like working outside, because I really do feel that I've given my all to South Africa, you know, whether you've seen it or not, they can check the catalog. But I think I'm tired. I need more. I need more.
That's great. That's cool ambition. I love it.
Thank you.
This might be a complete misfire, but on On your album, there's an intro track, and it is uncredited, but there is a singer on there that could be Bongaziwe Mabandla. Is it him or not?
No, it actually isn't. It actually isn't. So the story behind that was, it was actually taken from my spiritual journey that I went on.
Let's talk about that.
Yes, during last year. And that was one of our late night sort of like singing, like ceremonies, like just having fun, you know? And then, yeah, something just came to me during that time. I did a lot of my writing actually when I was out there for the album as well. And I just decided to record it on my phone. And then I, you know, obviously sent the girl the necessary, please, can you sign, show me, this sounds so amazing, I want to use it. So she has been, you know, there have been credits that have gone out. And shout out to the producers who put that together. But yeah, that was taken like from my phone during a very special transition in my life.
That singer is unbelievable then.
Wow.
They're really amazing.
Shout out to Amahle, actually. She graduated today. Yes, she graduated today in her spiritual journey. So that's absolutely amazing that you'd say that.
I'm going to sound like an idiot asking this question. I need, what is the spiritual journey? I was reading about this and I couldn't put my finger on what it actually means.
Yes.
I don't know if that's intentional or it's just too hard to explain or it's a private thing. So.
Yeah, some of everything you just said. So we can't obviously speak about what happens there, but it is a spiritual process where, you know, I mean, down my family lineage on my mother and my father's side, they were healers, you know, traditional healers, you know, African healers. And there just comes a time where it kind of happens to you, and you go, and depending on what your stance is and, you know, what your beliefs are, you go away for a bit and you learn about, you know, ways around healing, how to embrace your gift, meditation, different things around African spirituality. So I went away during COVID for some time, and then I came back at the end of last year, embracing my gift, and now I am a gogo. They say gogo, so I'm a granny, a gogo, and it's almost like saying elder one, doctors, you know, things like that. And there are different, you know, gifts. There's, you know, the gift of healing, the gift of prayer, the gift of meditation. Some even do crossovers like psychics. It just depends on what you know, you specialize in. So yeah.
So are you a healer in training, or so to speak, or something like that?
Something like that. I am. I'm a healer. I've trained already to heal, but it never stops. The learning never stops. So we have elders, you know, kind of like the chief surgeon, if you were like a doctor, and you know, they provide direction rather in terms of a lot of things you do. So all the way from healing a flu, depending on what you go to study there, you know, some people go to heal physically, and some people heal spiritually, and some people heal psychologically, but just in the African way. So yes, I am a healer, but I continuously learn. I would never say I have my PhD yet.
Do you know Vusi Makhlasela?
Yes, I do know about Vusi Makhlasela.
Have you ever met him? I mean, I know he has very late in life found out that he is a healer. And he's like spent his last few years, I'm not saying his last few years as in his last few years, but the last few years really dedicated to, and the thing his voice is so unique. He discovered that his voice has healing qualities of it. And so that's what it's quite amazing. Yeah. So, I mean,
And what people need to realize, like for anyone watching this, is that it's not like a fashion thing. It's not like something you just go and decide that you are. Like, it's given to you. And you'll find that a lot of people who are, you know, public figures and stuff are that, because we believe that there's a spiritual awakening of some sort, and a need for people to find out who they really are and where they come from. So that's why you'll find that a lot of your favorites are you know, healing in one way or another. Some people heal through music. I love that you said that. Some people heal through their words. Some people heal through their hands, prayer, meditation, depending on what you believe in. So that is very true.
What do you think? You know, these interviews are meant to be fun, and I'm just going so deep. I hope you don't mind. How do you feel you have changed from before and afterwards?
I think I would have never gone on a reality show if I didn't go, you know, to school to find out who I am. Because I just, like, now it's just like, live your life, be happy, don't hurt anyone, try to do as much good as you can. And if something is out of your control, then, you know, let it be. So I think it's given a lot of direction to me. I did feel very directionless. Sometimes I feel very alone and very depressed and just very, and then it's almost as if there was some healing that took place, you know, when I was gone for all those months. And it's something I can never really describe to anyone unless you've gone and you've felt it. But it's just like a lot of discipline, but a lot of a reawakening, you know, souls and, you know, vibrations and the universe and energy. And, you know, I have was even told that, like, I just shine different now. You know, before I wasn't like this, and I can also feel that. And if I can make somebody feel what I feel, then yeah, my teacher definitely did a good job. So yeah.
So what do you, I mean, I see what you're doing, you know, all the stuff you're doing has so much power.
Yeah.
Your sort of empowerment of other women in the world is so strong. How do you, what is your, so now if you said before you felt a bit purposeless, now you feel like you have more direction. What is that direction? What are you trying to create in the world?
I think I'd like to use
this. This interview's gone somewhere else that I was not planning.
yeah. I think I definitely like to heal more. I think I definitely like to use my gift to help people find themselves as well. A lot of young people lack, you know, guidance. Like, how do I navigate through a world where things are always changing and I have no idea who's knocking on my door at this time?
Uber Eats.
But I've learned so much. I've learned a lot. So I think it's just about the reawakening of young people by a young person. And I have taken it upon myself to do just that. John, do you mind holding up a bit? Just not like it. I'm not going anywhere.
If anyone, you get the door, I'll ask. If anyone is watching and they want to ask Gigi a question while she's getting the door, type them in the comments now and I'll ask Gigi the question.
I'm
for
so
you.
Sorry, guys. It was like a delivery person. I'm so sorry, John.
who delivers stuff at 7:45 at night?
I don't know, but it's not mine. It's not mine.
No. Cool. All right. I've asked people for questions. I see something. The first one's coming in. How are you? But you can finish that thought. Or were you done?
I'm done.
I'm
happy. I'm free. I wish this feeling for a lot of people in the world who are just confused and don't know where their lives are going. You're not supposed to know. You just like roll with the punches and you like surf with the waves. Just like go. You'll figure it out.
I love your work. Someone has said, Jamaican Hossie has said, what inspired the ice cream track?
It was fun. I don't really know what inspired it. I will say, you know, the feeling was that when I hear people hearing the song, I want them to know that a woman can take up space like a man. So if it's a hit song, it's a hit song. I think the biggest thing for me to prove was that I was a young female hip hop artist, one of the pioneers for that term. And I was able to create a song that would outdo do outwork a lot of my male counterparts' songs, but it was definitely there was a clear message there, but the message was in how far the song could go. It wasn't very artsy. It wasn't very like thought out. I just went into the studio and created the song. I can't really explain why, but it did what I wanted it to do.
Very nice. What is, I missed that one. Oh, what was your inspiration when you first started? Says King Vessel 600.
My inspiration was definitely around society. Anything, I mean, I grew up, I'm a Joburg girl. I grew up in Lanesia, spent lots of my time in Soweto, moved even to Yeovil at some point. I've even experienced Prakpan, you know? and the inspiration is around my community. Everything I do, every single song you hear, there is a very deep message. I was actually told, John, like, you need to slow down on being so deep. But the truth is, it comes from a very deep place, even though it's just like a random song for you. So I'm a product of society, and everything in society for me becomes inspiration.
Very nice. Cool. All right, I'll ask one more from then, and then I have two questions for you, and then you're allowed to continue your life as it was before. My love, Aish. When you gonna drop an album? Sorry, get with the party. It's already dropped, Malema 54. Where does your inspiration for your music come from? I think you've just answered that one. I feel you. God bless you. Keep up the good work. Okay. Doesn't seem to be any good ones there. Okay. Do you feel pressure? Oh, this is from DJ Max Savage. And not okay. me, though. Do you feel pressure for changing or enhancing your image?
I don't think I enhanced my image. I think I just grew up. I was a huge tomboy. I still think there are traces of tomboyishness in me. But I do like makeup. I like looking pretty sometimes. I like, you know, changing my hair and doing makeup. And like, and I was just a late bloomer. So it's not necessary. I wouldn't say I changed. I just think I grew into what I was, you know, I was supposed to be. I think, yeah, that's how I would say it, but definitely no changing.
Are you good or bad at telling jokes?
I am a joke, okay? Like, everybody's always laughing at me. No, but I find, and once again, this is after, you know, I came back from the spiritual school. Yeah, people think I'm very funny, even though I don't think I'm funny. But
are you able to tell a joke? The question. Can you tell a joke?
Not on call.
No dancing monkey joke.
No, none of those. I don't like. It's just natural. It's just natural. Okay.
No, I didn't mean it. I did not mean it like that. I meant perform. Okay, so all right, so these are my final questions I ask at the end of every interview. Yep. The first one is, what do you think is the hardest thing you've had to overcome in order to take you to where you are today?
Talk. People, the naysayers, the dream and the passion killers. People who've told me I'm not, you know, this enough or that enough. I think for me, that was the biggest thing to overcome. And I wish that I was in the place that I'm in now and in the space I'm in now, because now the only things that make sense to me in my life, you know, are my dreams, like everything I've ever wanted. And I wish that I learned that very early, that validation means nothing. Like, it means absolutely nothing. The only person who deserves to even rate anything about me as myself. So yeah, definitely that.
That's amazing to be still young and have learned that, because that is a killer. I mean, a comment can live with you for years and years and years and change behavior and change how you write and change how you perform. Cool. And then my final one is, now that you get the vibe of this particular, although this one was a bit different, can you suggest a guest that you think would be awesome for this
yes,
show?
Yes, absolutely. I would suggest Holly Ray. Holly nice. Ray is, like she's an award-winning artist. She was the first woman to win a SAMA in like 20 years.
That's disgusting.
Right? She's just like a hit maker, and she's super humble, always willing to work, and I just love her vibe. So definitely Holly Ray.
All right, I'll put her on my record. She'll be on next for you. Gigi, I just, I know we've only met a couple of times. I love speaking to you. I think what you're doing is amazing. Everything you put out is world class. I love the journey that you're on. And I hope to be working on another little secret project shortly. And very much appreciate your time and coming to experiment here on our first ever live broadcast. We have had 5,738 views. Love your work, and thank you, and thanks for being on What's Your Poison. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
I can't. The turn off button is hidden behind a pop up. Go away, pop up. Go away, pop up.
Holly, bye, guys.
If you enjoyed this episode of What's Your Poison, you're pretty cool because it was fucking great. Do us a favor and subscribe either on the Apple Store, the Spotify Store, wherever you are. Leave a comment, please. Let me say it again because you probably just skipped over it. Just leave a comment because it helps with the ratings, and I would appreciate it. Also, go to johnsavage.com if you want to see all the rest of the episodes, or subscribe to my newsletter. The end.